Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. Here in this passage we see some warnings and we see some exhortations here, both in this passage of Scripture today, and some of it, again, some things reinforcing things that have already been mentioned in the previous chapters. A lot of reinforcement that's done in the book of Proverbs. And that's always needed, isn't it? We need to reinforce the things that we've learned, the things that we've been taught from the Lord. And again, Solomon is teaching his son these things, and that's wisdom from God. It's direction from the Lord. It is the Word of God. It's sometimes just common sense statements that you see it and you think, well, that's common sense. It doesn't take a lot of understanding or wisdom or knowledge to understand it. It's simple. But you know what? Sometimes folks stumble over simplicity. They think it's got to be harder than that. They think it's got to be more extravagant or, you know, elaborate than that. But we find, generally speaking, the truths of God are simple truths. They make sense. They are for our instruction, for our help, for our guidance, for our safety. In verse 10, he says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Is he making him a promise here? I think he's just saying that the promise of the Lord, and here's one in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, "Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land of the Lord, which thy God giveth thee." Then in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2, he says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Very interesting, isn't it? We have this commandment with promise that God gives us, that there is going to be a days added to us that honor our parents, listen to what they say, listen to those that are instructing us. And that's what he says here in verse 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." We might ask the question, how many is many? How much is many? How much life do we have to have? How many years do we have to, how many years do we want? Well, the quality of our years, the quality of our time, it's not just the quantity, it's the quality of our time. And I think that's the primary focus of what he's saying here, the quality of our time. And I do believe also clean living, you're more likely to live longer through clean living than you are with drugs, alcohol, immorality, all those things that the world involves themselves in, some to excess and to harm, and the pain, suffering, and early death. I had the funeral service, well, actually led to the Lord, a cousin of mine who died at age 50 of cirrhosis of the liver. There's no doubt in my mind that it was beer and alcohol, beer primarily, that killed him, that gave him cirrhosis of the liver. That's what the doctor told him. He was a ridiculous amount of alcohol he consumed. 2 months before he died, I led him to the Lord. He called me and said, "I need to talk to you." He was ready. Didn't drink anymore. It was over. He was done with it, but he was dying. very, very painful, awful death he suffered because of his lifestyle. So had he obeyed the direction of the Lord and lived a clean life, there's no doubt he, in my mind, that he would live longer, especially as far as that part was concerned. There's things about our life and the lengths of our life and things that happen and all these. We don't understand this. I mean, this is part of what we're not going to understand until we get there someday. My dad passed away at 74. My sister lived 1 year longer than my dad. And my dad and I talked just a few days before he died. He said, you know, if I lived a couple more months, I'd be 75. He said, that's not too bad, is it? I said, no, that's what the Bible says, 80. After that's labor and sorrow. But I said, be honest, Dad, if the Lord took me home today, and I was in my early 30s at that time, 31 years old when Dad passed away, I'd have to say the Lord's been good to me. Yep. He's given me a wonderful family, a good mom and dad, and I'm thankful and I have no regrets. I felt that the quality of my life had been such that if the Lord took me home, that would have been okay. Mm-hmm. I'd been fine. And I'm not trying to make comparisons, but I'm just saying that when all I can speak of is me, and all you can speak of is you, because you can't be me and I can't be you, and I don't know your background that, as far as experiences are concerned, and you don't know mine. But we just have to realize that we're in the hands of the Lord. And when he's ready to take us home, he will. And so in the meantime, we are to live, as he says, in the light and walk in the light of the Lord. And then it says here the promise of honoring our father and mother and obeying those that have the authority over us. Verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Verse 11 says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. So his dad, the father, who's saying this to his son under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying, I have no regrets for what I've taught you. I've taught you the way of the Lord. And he had confidence that if he followed the way of the Lord, then that was he had peace about that. You see, in rearing our children, we want to do the best that we can so that someday they won't be able to. I never did want my kids to point their bony finger in my face and said, Dad, you're the reason that I got in trouble. Or had you cared about me, I wouldn't have took that path. Had you took time to, you know, we just do the best we can. Try to keep them between the ditches until they have enough sense to know what to do on their own from the Lord. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path. I at least wanted the confidence to know that I had done my best. And they have to choose their own path following the Lord. They have to obey just as I had to obey. And Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, listen to this. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. It sounds like the psalmist was in fellowship with the Lord, doesn't it? It sounds like that he found his strength, his encouragement, his assurance, his peace, all from the Lord. Not from the world, but from the Lord. And he was willing to obey the Lord. You see, we sometimes, you know, we all want to know what God's will is for our life or in a certain situation, but are we willing to do it if he shows it to us? You see, he knows, doesn't he? We say, Lord, show me what to do here. But if he shows us what to do, are we going to do what he shows us to do? He knows whether we are or not, but why would he show us if we're not willing to do what he's telling us to do? So there has to be a willingness to obey him when we ask him to do his will. That's part of it. Right. Now look at verse 12. We're going to move along here just a little bit. Verse 12 says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. I looked at that word straighten. I thought, that sounds like the opposite of what I thought it would mean. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. You'd think, well, the word straighten, well, this means stopped or stressed or led astray or hindered. Or the word straightened here means I'm in a strait betwixt two. You remember the Apostle Paul used the word straight there, meaning that he was in a place where he didn't know what to do or he didn't know how to feel. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, or I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain here with you is more needful, is what he's talking about. I'm in a strait betwixt two. Stress. He says, listen, and the Apostle Paul was talking about his personal feelings here. He's not wasn't talking about the guidance he was getting from the Lord. He was talking about he had mixed emotions about going on to be with the Lord, but we knew heaven was much far greater than being here, but for him to stay and help the folks was more needful at that point in time. And so he had mixed feelings about that, which we can understand. Then it says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. We find that there's a blessing of the Lord when we're following or going down his path. Psalm 18, verse 36 says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. That was a good one for the icy conditions we had today. And, you know, when you're walking along, you want confidence that your foot's not going to slip, right? When you're going down the pathway, and the more confidence you have that you've got good traction and your feet are not going to slip, the faster you're probably going to walk. You know, you're not going to walk along like that, taking short steps. Well, he says, when you have the blessing of the Lord and you're following the Lord, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. So there is a blessing to following the path of the Lord. He says, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. I don't do a lot of running nowadays. I used to, and I would like to be able to again, but my feet will not allow me to. Too much feet issues. Now, I could tell you all about it, but it'd just bore you, so I'm not going to even tell you about my feet condition. You probably got it too, and you know what I'm talking about. But when we're talking about moving along in our spiritual life, we want to be in good condition, good health, good ability to go forward in our spiritual life, our spiritual man, the spiritual part of us. We want to be athletic and able to run spiritually, don't we? We don't want to be sickly and frail and not able to serve the Lord spiritually. We want to serve Him from our heart. Spiritually, it should, no matter how our body is, our hearts and our spirit should be in good health. And that's what he's talking about here. Verse 13, he says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Instruction. Again, the instruction of the Lord, the instruction that we're given, we don't always want. We don't always want to be instructed. We sometimes think that we know what we're doing. But the safe, the better place to be is that we have a teachable heart and that we're willing to be instructed. We have a teachable heart. And that's not only from the Lord, it's from His Word, but it's also from those that teach us, from those that would instruct us. What about the police officers? What about someone who has, there's a situation going on in a building and they're giving instructions? The folks down in Tennessee where the fires were, when they were instructed to evacuate, they weren't to argue with those that were given instruction. They were to do what they said to do. And not only that, but to go where they told them to go. Follow the instructions. You know, I remember putting my kids' toys together at Christmas time. And in some cases, you need to have a degree in engineering to do it. Remember those things they had a few years ago called big wheels? Yeah. The big wheel, the plastic tricycle-like thing. Don't wait till Christmas Eve to put one of those things together. It was awful, wasn't it, Diane? Do you remember that? You know, we stayed up half the night doing it. And guess what I finally did?
Read the instructions.
Read the instructions. If at first you don't succeed.
Amen.
Well, there's two. If at first you don't succeed, read the instructions, yeah. Right? Then if that doesn't work, if at first you don't succeed, get a bigger hammer.
Yep. There you
go. Follow the instructions. Take fast hold of the instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Don't be too proud for the instruction of the Lord. You know, regardless, you know, of the age of the one who's given it, or if it's the Word of God and if it's the truth, then we're to receive it. We're to obey it. We're to allow it to speak to our hearts. Again, sometimes we just shovel it over our shoulders to the person behind us. And if you do that this morning, you might not hit anybody. But we all need instruction, don't we? We do. Let me share a verse with you. It says in Proverbs 3:18, it says, "She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." The wisdom of instruction of the Lord. Now verses 14 and 15, actually verses 14 through 17 go together. I want to share some verses with you here, and there's some distinctive thoughts about this passage. We could actually have spent all day on this one passage, or all the entire class time. You know that the Bible has a lot to say about wickedness and evil, and about that it should be avoided, it should be not practiced, that we should. And I'm going to give you some of the verses that share those thoughts with us. Let's read the passage. In verse 14 it says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Let's read those two verses there. Some folks want to see how close they can get to that which is wrong. Or the devil might say, or someone who would like to lead us astray might say, "Well, it's just one time. We'll just try it this one time." Well, the Lord says don't see how close you can get to it. See how far away from it you can get. You know, remember a while back, I gave that up. Some folks want to get so close to the edge of the cliff, see how close they can get to the edge without falling off, you know? Well, stay back away from the edge.
Amen.
Is it better to put a fence and I'm talking about teenagers primarily, is it better to put a fence at the top of a cliff or an ambulance at the bottom?
Right.
Well, if they'd stay away from the edge of the cliff, you wouldn't even have to put a fence at the top. But the Lord has to put fences up, doesn't He? And then He's telling us, stay away from it. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6, He says, "Forsake the foolish and live, go in the way of understanding." Proverbs 13, verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Remember, we've said that we're not only known by the company that we keep, but we're also known by the company that we avoid. And so that's what he's saying here in verses 14 and 15. "Enter not into the path of the wicked," and "go not in the way." These two words you'll find all through the book of Proverbs, the words path and way. It's talking about the path and way of our life. What we do, where we go, how we behave, the pathway of our life. Don't get anywhere near it. And then verse 15 is pretty clear, isn't it? "Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." I think everybody could understand that.
Yeah.
Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You say, "Well, how about you giving me some New Testament verses?" I'm glad you asked. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32. "Be not deceived." This is an interesting verse. Listen to this. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Evil communications. Now, what is our communication? It's part of, it's our life. It's who we talk with, who we fellowship with, who we run with. Corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We don't see how close we can get. We see how far we can. And I've mentioned this before. When the Bible talks about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Loving the worldly things and that those that are going in the direction of the world. I found that if we separate ourselves unto the Lord and try to live for the Lord, that for the most part, the world will separate itself from us. For the most part. Now, there'll be some that would be determined to see us fall. Because we would be like a trophy of their accomplishment by causing us to fall into the same sin. You know, isn't it? And we're going to look at this here in just a couple of minutes as far as the desire of the wicked to take others down with them. And it's really amazing. It's supernatural. It's beyond human explanation why some people want to, misery loves company or something like that. It makes them feel better about the direction they're going if they can take somebody with them, even if it's the wrong direction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Wow. That covers a lot, doesn't it? All appearance of evil. I stay as far away from the booze section of the stores that I can.
Amen.
And I know folks have said, well, people know you. They know you wouldn't be buying that. I said, I know, but there's people that don't know me. And I don't want. I just want to stay as far away from that stuff as I can. And we can make internet issues. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Things are there that we need to avoid and stay away from. And because it's evil. Let's continue with the rest of our verses. Look at verse, as it says down here in verse 16. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. And that is so true. It's so descriptive of those that are going in the wrong direction. They want to take others with them. I found a couple of verses that were very interesting. Micah 2 and verse 1. It says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds, when the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hands. Look at verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Talking about that is their food. That's what they find excitement from, is destroying those that would be going in the right direction. Here's another example. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen to this. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Listen to this statement. Beguiling unstable souls. And heart that exercises. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children. Wow. Beguiling unstable souls. That's what they like to do. It's what they find is their mission in life, it seems. Notice it says in verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. They're consumed with it. In Psalm 14, verse 4, it says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? You see, as we get closer to the Lord, the closer we get to the Lord, the further away from that which is evil and wicked and sinful will be. But it also puts us in a place of observation, of seeing the path of others and the destructiveness and how. And I've got extended family members. I could tell you about alcohol and drugs and what that has done to their life. And it is so awful. That in itself would cause me to avoid that, apart from the instruction of the Lord. But when you put the instruction of the Lord saying, it's not going to turn out well if you go that way, and I see that, I hear what God has to say. Then I see the example of those that I love. And then we can see what is important and what God's trying to say to us here about this. Now, I like this next verse here in verse 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Notice, if you would, it says the path of the just. We've been looking at the path of those that are not just, who are unjust, who are living for the devil and for themselves, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more in the perfect day. This verse, again, confirms to us, light received increases light. Light rejected increases darkness. That's true both for the saved and for the lost. If an unsaved person gets the light of the truth and they do not obey it or act upon it, it'll become darkness to them. It'll increase the darkness in their life. And in our life, if the Lord gives us the light of something in our life, then as we go down this path of light and He's shining on that path and we do not follow it, then is He going to give us more? No. Light received increases light. Light rejected increases darkness. God will not give us more light on something till we act upon the light He's already given us. We have to obey what He's already shown us before He'll show us more. Why would He give us more light if we haven't obeyed what He's already given us? And so that's what this verse says, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. When we get to heaven one day, that perfect sanctification, you see, the positional sanctification of being in Christ and the practical sanctification of becoming more and more like Him one day, but then one day there'll be complete sanctification when we'll be made like unto Him. Now, we won't know everything that God knows because we'll not ever be God.
That's right.
But we'll know more than we know now.
Amen.
And we'll be satisfied with it. And it'll be like that shining, and the Lord, of course, is that shining of the light. Again, another warning here in verse 19 before we close. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Well, the way of the just is a shining light, but the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They can't see what they're stepping on. They can't see the path that's before them. Doesn't the Bible say that His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? Well, they don't. The wicked don't have that. They don't necessarily want it in most cases. If they wanted it, they could have it. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 9, listen to this, a very good verse. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. That's in our own strength. No man is going to prevail. We can't live right in our own. I've met so many folks that were considering trusting the Lord as their Savior, and they say, I know I can't live the Christian life. I said, you're right, you can't. But God can live it through you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, you see. But without the Lord, we are going to walk in darkness. We're going to stumble. He will keep the feet of His saints. What does that mean? It's talking about the path that we're going. The protect, guide, shine the light where we can see, where we can make the right steps. Steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer.